All right, it's 5 o'clock on September 6th. Not a Monday, it's a Tuesday, but feels like Monday. We've got two things on our pre-council meeting agenda for this evening. First up is budget amendments, and I'll just throw out my hope for this is that we can have a lot of our council discussion during this part so that when it comes time for the meeting, we at least have a feel for what it is we need to know. And then the second part is MoDOT has requested, sort of feedback on our thoughts on their I-70 corridor proposals that they have in. So thank you for staff to prepare some things, just so if we do as a council want to put together like a resolution or letter of support on what we think is important, we can do that, or I can feel comfortable speaking on behalf. So to Carlin, or I'm looking probably at Matt Liu, I'll kick it to you.
All right, Mayor. So one of the things that we do have for our budget amendment discussion is the council, the staff members who are in charge of those departments and in charge of those make the budget amendment request are present. And so they'll be here to address any questions that you may have. And so with that, I'll let Finance Director Liu start off the process by going through the budget amendments.
Thank you.
So we'll just look at these one by one. If you have any questions, stop me. If you don't, we'll just kind of continue through. There are about 30 staff amendments, and I believe there are 12 council amendments.
Okay. And my hope is on that for some of them, if they can be lumped together, I'll make a note. So then when it comes time for amendments at the council meeting, I might call them together. So okay. Thank you.
Okay, so the first one is public health. It's an increase for Title X family planning, $79,000 for the revenue, and then we have $19,000 in expenses. Second one is the police RMS system, which we've spoken about.
Sorry, to go back, I'm lost on that first one already. What does this mean?
The revenue from the grant was not included in the proposed budget, so it's correct in that beat.
Okay, so now we just added that? Have we taken something out then, or we just added?
Revenue.
We just added revenue. Right, before we just had expenses, and now we have revenue?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And that's funded by someone else first?
Correct.
Okay.
Good point. Okay, thank you.
Then we have the care staff amendment.
There was any questions on it, but we can go back to it if you have a question.
No, did I miss a demonstration of that or the conversation? I know we need to see
representation. No, we haven't picked that up.
We haven't picked it yet. We're
budgeting for it. They have looked at different products, but they haven't selected. Mm-hmm. Here's a product that we're going to bring forward for record management.
And this is not the.
This is not fuses.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No. This is just so we can control our records and be able to do better reporting.
So the time to ask questions about, because there were a lot of questions about whether or not we could pull data, that would be to encourage everyone to get their questions about data together before we see whatever the proposed software package is, to see if you come close to answering those questions.
Yes.
Okay. I'll have to broadcast that out. Okay.
And then four social services. Position
for them.
Oh, well, I
know we'd like taking you off. So how about number three?
This is the care staff with the 10 trainees and a job coach for the program.
Matt, I think Pat had a question.
I do. Have we set the hourly wage that we're going to pay care students?
Yeah, we updated that already, so it's updated to where they'd be paid at minimum wage.
Okay, so where do we intervene and request or suggest a higher rate than minimum wage?
I guess we've already amended the budget for that. We set that in this current budget. If you want to request that, I guess now it's time. I guess there's concern of paying 16-year-olds more than what you're paying or the same amount you're paying your professional staff.
Well, we have a minimum wage at the city of $15 an hour.
I understand that, but that's
so,
not for
but we're
kids.
Paying state minimum wage or federal minimum wage?
We're paying the state minimum wage.
State minimum wage is $12 per hour.
12?
It will be $12 an hour on January 1st,
okay.
2023.
Okay.
So this, our care program will be paid at that minimum wage.
Okay, thank you.
And that's, I mean, this is a training program, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So this is like, if they could get the job without this, or if they move on, I know one kid in the CARES program who now
works full-time.
Works, not full-time, yes. But he works weekends at the restaurant. He was at there over the summer, so
yep.
He's not in the CARES program anymore. He's now getting paid, whatever they pay him there.
And I think Matt has a question, too, and then I have a question, so I'll make sure everyone has a chance to ask.
So on this one, this sounds like a care program for Columbia Public Schools.
Yes.
So can you tell me a little bit about how this came together and how much of the cost they're picking up on it?
Well, and so we're not there yet on how much they're going to kick into for the program. But what we looked at is a way of creating a conduit to get our Columbia youth into jobs with the city. And so it's hiring a coordinator to kind of help work with those kids to set up a program that will allow us to do some internships, but then some summer jobs and part-time jobs in order to build those resources in with our existing staff. We've had a couple meetings with the school district this summer. We're waiting to actually school started, so we should get ready to kick up a meeting probably in the next couple of weeks to actually talk about a little bit more to this program to flesh it out a little bit better. But the idea is that kind of what they did with the program in order to get educators into the system by, was it
to grow your own?
Grow your own, yes. So it's a similar program for us in order to kind of get some of those youth who are in an engineering program or in some of those programs to kind of get them onto city staff and as support staff for us, and they could hopefully eventually become permanent employees for us.
Okay, well, I get that from the city perspective and for city jobs. I mean, this is another taxpayer-funded entity, and so I just want to be careful about the funding lines there, because I mean, they want to start their own, this type of program, right? Grow your own program, which I totally get. I mean, it totally makes sense. And if we want to assist in the administration of it, I'm sure that we would be, good partners in doing that. But I don't want to be, funding another tax entities sort of recruiting and development.
No, so I mean this idea is for what we realize is there's been a difficulty in finding employees for the city, and so our thought is that we toured the.
So this is not for
teachers.
No.
Right. It is worded poorly. So this is the idea that we had about trying to show people about opportunities for jobs within the city government.
Correct.
So the idea is you go into the school system and have build up you this idea of partnership to then potentially be a city engineer with public works is that what this is?
That's not how this reads.
Expose them to the teaching profession and get them started on that.
This is a separate program.
Yes. So we have funding in terms of care trainings working in our utilities departments. So they get a feel for what that looks like. This was a idea that came apart between CPS staff and Columbia Parks Director. Mr. Stevens at that meeting where we would have placed trainees within summer school programs. So they would start about a week before summer school starts and they would be able to experience a teaching environment. So as we have care trainees, we place them at 100 different job sites. When we're talking to Dr. Yearwood, one thing they're looking to do is help grow as teachers potentially. And so this would introduce a 14 or 15 year old into the teaching profession. And so they would spend this summer with them, and then they actually have a couple other meets with us, but they would be able to gather a little bit of that. We have not determined what CPS will contribute to the program. What we wanted to do is make sure we started with 10 trainees, which is what we felt comfortable placing this first round with one job coach, and then as we start to talk to CPS, we'll determine how we cost share this program.
That's it.
Do we already cost share with employers? So we put payment, are we paying all of their wages or part of their wages?
The city pays those wages.
We pay all their wages, okay. So if we wanted to remain consistent, we pay the wages for this as well?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so really, I mean, I've been on the other side of this, and I mean, CARES program covers a lot of different territory, including social services and other things, restaurants. So it's really the focus is on the student more than it is on what they might or may not produce for the entity with whom they're working.
Yeah, and this idea comes back a lot to what we have already done with city utilities when we started police care training. There's individualized training, so a student that may have an interest in that, we are able to align them directly with them. A student that may have an interest in teaching as a profession someday, we are trying to align that student with them, whereas other students may not have any idea what they want to do for a job, and then we just kind of give them some different options and explain those jobs, whether it's working in a daycare or car detailing. We'll explain those jobs, and we allow them to kind of pick where they would like to work for the summer. This program just helps us, and it's what we see with the success of city utilities, to branch out into another area and give those care trainees a different environment or environment they may have a high interest in.
So just to be clear, the Grow Your Own, is that within the CARES program, or is it it's
no,
separate?
It's separate.
So really, so we're talking about two separate programs with two different outcomes that are targeted. Yeah, okay.
All right, thank you.
Yes.
Are we on item four? I have a question.
Let him start it first.
So the public health and human services, social services specialist, this would assist the municipal court with their workload.
And this one, I'm reading your notes on it. It was originally already proposed, but was just a miscommunication including it in the budget?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Pat.
So I visited the municipal court on the day they do the community resources docket, and Judge Nose made reference to this. He made reference to something like this, where that there would be a social worker from the health department that would help with matching people to resources when they come through the municipal court. Is that what this is?
Yes. In fact, he gave up a position in order to create this position.
Right.
So he gave up an administrative clerk-like position for this?
Yes.
Does this position so he's also got a number of social service providers in the courtroom with him.
Mm-hmm.
Does this position have a similar responsibility as far as the person comes in and they've got any number of unmet needs, that this person would then become their case manager and help find those needs for them if it didn't fit in the
I'll let
Stephanie. I'll
let Stephanie kind of talk about that. I'm not sure about the case manager part, but.
Hello. We'll work with the judge on that, but the goal will be to help those folks who need various resources, including the as well as potentially, as the judge and Steve talk, even identifying like who some high need lives are. So, really,
Is this contemplated to be a licensed clinical social worker or
no, social services specialist?
So it's not, you're not even required to have a social worker degree?
Most do, yes.
Most do, okay. Thank you.
Okay, so, sorry, now I have a question. You think you're going to be able to hire a social worker for $67,000 a year?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It could be a bachelor's degree.
Okay, but we're unable to find folks like that to help our police department with our.
No, because they're not licensed clinical social workers. $100,000+.
Okay, thanks. I was like, wait a minute. All right, thank you.
I do want to follow up because this is for pay and benefits. The 67 is pay and benefits. So actually, they're probably going to come in somewhere between 37 and 40 for pay, correct?
Thank you, Matt.
Hey, in there, there was a double budgeting of park CIP items, so sort of removing that. Then we have two TAP grants with Streets and Engineering. This is the revenue portion of the grant. I believe the matching portion for MoDOT was already budgeted, so this is just the basically the cleanup part.
Mayor, hold on a second. I'm noting down which ones are just cleanup. Yes.
When we match this, are we matching dollar for dollar or 10 cents to 90%, or what's the match?
Shane, what's the match?
I think it's 80-20, but it's not 50-50.
Okay.
They being 80 and we being 20?
Usually.
This is a 50-50 MoDOT for Old Plank Road is number 8. So this will increase the amount of the cost share to 902. Then we have number 9, which is also.
Can you, Matt, on that one really quick, do you mean the additional,
the
budget of the cost
yes.
more, and it comes together. Okay.
You end up getting $15,000 more.
Okay.
Anticipated so
$15,000. Okay. Sounds good. Okay.
May I inquire, Mayor?
Mm.
So I drove through this area for a totally different reason on Sunday, and nothing about that struck me as a place that needed a roundabout. Is this in reaction to? But they're building all around the area. There's big expensive homes going up everywhere. Is this a reaction to that development, and how is it that ended up as a project when it's still a predominantly rural area?
This is the area I'm thinking of. I know that neighbors in the county have expressed a concern over safety, but I don't know. Justin Aldrin brought that
something
up.
Something that MoDOT had interest in as well, so it is getting out in front a little bit. We look for projects that MoDOT has an interest in too.
Sure. Is the county having a match component to this as well?
I think it's in the city though, isn't it?
It is.
It's in the city?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think just a neighbor had expressed interest to the commissioners over concern for safety.
Just one neighbor?
I said neighbors.
Okay.
Go on, Matt.
9 is the increase of Missouri Arts Council to cultural affairs of $17,000, so it'll move us up to $27,000. This additional $10,000.
What do they use that for? Are these the grants that they give out?
I believe so.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Thanks.
Number 10, I believe there are several of these for every fund that has sales tax revenue. This was what we had spoke about in the council meeting, just the increase in sales tax revenue since we want to at least budget a base of this year is where we believe we'll end up this year. So that's what these are.
Can I just ask real quick? So that's a result of pretty recent data then, right? Just like over the past month or so? Have you seen enough of a difference there?
No, there's been a difference the whole year,
right.
But it's way higher than we expected. And most of the economists that we have listened to, our own economists and just doing research, suggest that the sales tax revenue won't decrease, but it won't increase at the same level it's been increasing at as well. So we figured a flat, a 0.5% increase to flat it would be a good base for 2020.
So this is just projected. I mean, you're putting it in the budget because we like to account for it, but this is the projected monthly increase. Okay.
That goes for all of our sales tax related funds. Then we have parking, solid waste sewer. These are the one-ton fleet replacements in 23 and the additional costs associated with those.
Do you want to talk about the fact that we're looking at hybrid vehicles?
Oh, yes, and that is one thing as well. Wherever there are vehicles that are going to be replaced, we are looking to see what the hybrid comparable model is and if it's within the range or if it is something that is reasonable for purchasing that hybrid or electric vehicle.
And with that, just like a reminder on those, like a lot of times then there's other like grant matching that we could use for some of those that I think are, I know we don't like grants necessarily, but.
Oh, we love grants.
All right. Some departments don't like grants, I'm sorry. Yeah, Pat, you had a question?
So the $2,000 for each, that's the difference between a conventional fuel and a hybrid for the type of vehicle that you're buying? It doesn't seem like that's a lot of difference.
And that's part of the reason why we decided to go ahead and go with the hybrid, because the cost difference was negligible.
So like a $50,000 pickup truck would be $52,000 for a hybrid. I'm just throwing that out. Pickup trucks are expensive. Are we agreeing to cap it to a $2,000 pickup, or we're talking about this as an example?
This is an example.
Okay.
We're not capping it at two.
Do we combine our fleet, our I guess it's a half-ton truck, there's only so many departments that need those. Do we otherwise share our fleet vehicles among departments, or are they all individual to the departments?
We have shared vehicles, but most are individual to the department.
You do have a pool fleet, though.
Right. And then you also have hand-me-downs that will occur. So you may buy a vehicle for the electric department, and then after so many years, it may go down to a department that uses the vehicle a little less. And so that way you kind of economize your use of your vehicle.
Well, this is a Civic Academy pilot program. Just needing some funding to get that off the ground.
We'd like to say that within 3 days of us putting out the request for people to sign up.
So, Carlin, can you project your voice?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a little hoarse right now. Within 3 days of us putting out the call for people to sign up for the Civic Academy, we were full. And so that was 23?
We have 23 signed up. Yes.
And so we're looking at trying to do another one in the spring. So that's the reason why we're doubling what we would normally ask for.
I don't know that it's going to ever come back to us until you want another budget allocation. I wanted to ask about whether or not part of the Civic Academy will be to teach residents and ratepayers how to find things on our city's website.
I don't know if it'll be necessarily that. I mean, there may be some look at the website, but to have them to teach them how to use the website, that's not normally what we'll be looking at for the academy now.
Where would be our opportunity to help? It's not that I just want them to know how to use the web as much as I want them to be able to answer questions by being able to go to our website, get to know how to ask, get to know where to look. Where is it that we could have that opportunity to educate not only council but also our residents and ratepayers?
Well, we could put together a couple of tutorial videos to kind of help people.
I think by educating the participants on the different departments that we have selected for the different weeks for the program, they can touch on that and they can gain a better understanding of what those departments do and how they function, and that will give them a better understanding of where to go.
Are you anticipating what they used to call in some training programs the pre-test and the post-test, where you ask them a series of questions before you start the academy and you ask them a series of questions afterwards to measure whether or not that gave them the specific knowledge they were looking for?
Yeah, I imagine there'll be something like that. And then to Pat's point, I mean, we've talked about how to use the website, and I think you guys have been working on that, like the budget 101 videos and
yes.
Different aspects. So I think you guys had mentioned that you were looking at how to do additional education and outreach within the community outreach, I forgot what it's called now, whatever the new not community relations, but whatever it is now, trying to do those outreach. So I think highlighting anytime you do that would be beneficial.
Okay, and that's, we'll definitely do that.
Yeah. And then the only other thing I was going to add on this one is that I know that the Boone County Clerk has done something similar with almost like a county academy. Like they're looking into that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe when you look at their spring again, reaching out to the county clerk to see about what sort of, because people, you know, all the time call up the city with the thing, but actually the county handles that, or they call it the county and it's the city. So I think any sort of cross collaboration we have there will be only mutually beneficial to both.
I agree.
Thank you.
So will we also look at the, after the first session, what the demographics were, the people who signed up, whether or not we had enough outreach in, say, communities of color? We know that we have relatively low participation in city government among certain subsets or communities, our residents and our ratepayers. Will we be doing a look at that, too, to make sure that future programs maybe reach further?
Yeah, I mean, I think once, I mean, I think that's part of the analysis that you do at the end of a program to see exactly what were your pitfalls. I mean, I think, you know, starting off looking at, you know, six week long program, that may not be enough in order to really reach a true understanding of what we do. So, I mean, this first step is just, let's try to put something out there. Let's see who volunteers, to join up. And then from there, we can kind of make the assessment if we need to do a better job of outreach in order to get people to sign up for it.
Number 13, this is a cleanup as well, sort of including some grants and for native plant seed, landscape material. They're coming in a little more expensive than what we had thought, so $14,000 there. In community development, $75,000
for. This is the consultant review for the UDC?
I believe it is.
Yeah,
so this was the First Amendment, and then I know there were some other amendments too for UDC.
Tim,
did you have something?
I just want to mention this duplicates a couple of council meetings. So it's covered the same amount.
Okay. And
not
so, right. So there's a range of dollars that we're seeing.
Yes.
I'm wondering where the set, I mean, are we making up these numbers on some of these expenses? Or is this based on existing consultant contracts that we've had with these reviews?
I can just speak to the 75. I looked at some examples that's kind of between extremes, but I'd say it's also close to
Okay. And we'll get to the council amendments when we get to the council part. This is, but you're thinking it's a lot of the alignment between the two.
I can speak to it now if you want. We were just.
That's beneficial.
Or maybe not. I don't know.
No, so you guys. Huh? It's, no, because we have the 75 that staff is proposing, but I think there's
right.
Two council amendments, one for 100,000, another one for 200,000.
Yeah, I had asked about increasing this to 100,000 for this same specific question, because as opposed to just asking them to address the issue, we wanted to use their expertise to say what would be the best way to address the Central City neighborhoods concerns, and felt that we wanted not to be really too tight with that consultant budget. And then Pat had another.
And then I just want to, just on a quick clarification on this one, with any of these sort of things, it's the sort of stuff that the scope of work would probably, since it's something that's been brought up by council, is the idea that the scope of work would come back to council with the intent? Is that the thought?
Yeah, because this was a council request.
Okay.
Ideally, we'd want to get council input on it before we go out and, you know, find a consultant that may not have the same vision that the council has.
Okay. Pat, do you want to talk about yours really quick while we're here?
Because I appreciate Councilperson Peters and her attention to this and the meetings that she's already held, but I think that there's, to me, Carla knows, I see a lot of things that are interconnected. This is interconnected into what I think are three problems happening at once that are negatively impacting the availability of housing in the central parts of the city, the availability of affordable housing citywide, and the things that we're doing or not doing that are undermining our ability to hold on to the affordable housing inventory that we have. And because of that, I would rather that we have a higher sum of money attached to this to look at all three of those issues, because they're interconnected, to get underway with that, even if that spans greater than the fiscal year, but not to narrow it down. And as you notice, I've also suggested that we put off working on updates to the comprehensive plan in favor of this because of the urgency of the situation.
Right.
So that's why I'm up at $200,000, because I see this as having three issues instead of just one. And I absolutely support each of the individual ones. I just think it's the time to look at all of them together.
Right.
And I'm sort of afraid if we look at all of them together, we're just going to get bogged down and not get any of them done. I mean, that was one of the reasons we were trying to have sort of a narrow focus, although we can have three narrow focuses with three different projects. I'm just sort of afraid if we try and make it too inclusive, although I agree we need to look at all of them, that we're just going to have a big jumble, and in 5 years we'll still be waiting for the consultant to,
yeah,
well, maybe 3 years, but you know, it you know how they take on a life of their own and it takes forever. But
well, sure, I understand. You know, you look at this and you think in the core areas surrounding downtown, at some point in time, there was a policy decision made to upzone those properties, despite the fact that those neighborhoods persist as being single family homes with small apartment buildings adjacent to them mixed in. So we're in a different place now because that zoning now allows something much larger in scale, which is a threat to those single family homes and those small apartment buildings. It actually encourages people to tear down those homes and build something even larger, which then is a threat to the surrounding and adjacent properties, whether or not they're rental or they're unoccupied. So I don't want us, I totally get what Betsy's saying about getting bogged down. I don't want us to get bogged down either. But those things are so interconnected. And then, of course, the other part of this is because so much of our land area is zoned single family, for those folks who are investors and want to make money off of the construction or renovation or restoration or redevelopment of multifamily housing, they have no choice but to come to our neighborhoods. And then they're upsetting that pattern of this long-standing single family homes with small apartment buildings next.
Yeah, I think part of what you're doing is you're changing philosophies. I mean, for a while in some communities, the idea was that you would go into those neighborhoods, you would tear down two homes, and you would build a larger home in order to, you know, increase the size of the neighborhood, increase the cost, increase the density. And so now you're looking at changing the scope to narrow it to say, okay, what we want to do is we want to do something that's more preservation for what we have, and make sure that as development occurs, they appreciate what's already there, and if someone does have to build something, it's built in a way that's more in concert and in harmony with what's already there, as opposed to building something that's outside of that.
Yeah.
And I think for what we have here, I think that's how you get there. My big concern about putting off the
we can put out the comp plan. That's
what I was
going to
say.
Federal government to have an updated comprehensive
exactly.
plan.
And if you don't have an updated yeah. comp plan, you lose out on grants. You lose
yeah.
out on. So it's one of those things that, as a city, you have to make sure you maintain your comp plan.
But again, it's not an either or. It's as you're updating it, you're also going through this process.
Exactly.
And I think we sometimes do an okay job of when we're talking with residents and surveying for a next plan to have those plans have those groups talk to each other. And I think if we could do a concerted effort on that, so as we're having focus groups, as we're having charrettes or whatever it is for some of these issues, those same issues, I think, as Rachel used to always say, it's the reflect and respect on those conversations that were had and bringing it to the other planning process that's happening.
Absolutely. And so your comp plan should talk to this issue. Now, this may be a separate plan that you develop, but your comp plan should talk to that issue. And
right.
you shouldn't be able, there shouldn't be this separate process.
Yeah.
So it may be a separate plan, but it should be able to work in harmony with your existing plan. And your comp plan should be your your development bible for all intents and purposes.
But I don't think it serves as our development bible.
But it should.
Well,
and that's part of our issue is.
And the UDC is the implementation
exactly.
piece of it, the codes.
Yes.
So yeah. My anxiety level went way up when you said this idea of, and I like Rachel Baker too, that reflected respect, because where I live, downtown, adjacent to downtown, and my ward is included in a lot of these small houses, that is not what our experience has been.
Right.
We feel threatened all the time. Short-term rentals, redevelopment out of scale with our existing uses. Our infrastructure is getting better. That's good news. So there's been a focus of working on some of our stormwater and our sanitary sewer issues so they're not in our basement as often.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really, and I also feel the intensity of what East Campus is going through. They have single-family homes that they've invested in. They have a beautiful neighborhood. And then they end up with something so large and out of scale that it disrupts their ability to stay there as well. And of course, then what happens is it turns into a rental, and it has more, and you know, there's nothing wrong with density. We're already more dense than every other part of the city. So I find that fascinating that we always want to talk about density in the first ward and in these older neighborhoods where they're already dense. But I really do not feel like it's a good idea to disconnect that. I'm willing to concede the point that you've got to go forward with your comprehensive plan, but we have to keep these things at least in a progression so that we don't make a decision in isolation that then undercuts our ability to protect at the next stage.
All right, and we'll probably get to more of this too when we get to the council amendments. Okay.
Number 15 is an increase to the utility assistance program from 100K to 300.
And this was something, DeCarlin, that you said you thought had already been in, but...
Yeah, so last year the council had suggested that we increase the utility assistance to 300,000. And I thought we were carrying it forward, and what they carried forward was, I think, 100,000. And so what I want to do is put it back at the level what it was last year. I think so far this year we've used 200,000 and some change.
Yeah, it's going to be gone.
Almost all of it.
Yeah, so it should be
yeah.
All of it should be used by the end of this fiscal year. So ideal is that we'll budget the same amount for the next fiscal year.
Okay. And one of the things that I talked about this morning, we had a few months ago, Council was asked about exploring like rental energy efficiency, and I know staff was working on that, because I remember years ago looking at the same properties sometimes are asking for utility assistance, and that's not necessarily a problem of the user, but the property.
Mm-hmm.
And so do we have a, I mean, that might be good to know the update on when that might come back to us.
Eric?
And then to that point is also, this is also the reminder of, we might amend the budget later on.
Right.
When we find out the cost of a program for something.
Absolutely.
Were you going to ask somebody something?
I was going to ask Eric if he can give an update.
An update on?
The energy assistant review.
The rental energy review.
We're in the process of doing
Like, I don't know how much it would cost right now. Okay, yeah.
So I have a council amendment for that, and I can wait until we get there.
Okay.
Because I do have some other comments about that.
Sounds
and
good.
I appreciate what you're about the survey they're doing now, where they're working on the specifics of serving.
Great. Matt?
16, Public Health Human Services. So there's currently a draft agreement with the Department of Health and Senior Services for a disease intervention specialist workforce program, and this would allow for that, as well as supplies, training, travel, computer equipment, etc.
Can I ask really quick, is something like this coming up because council has commented in the past about, hey, if we know we have a grant coming, rather than continuing to amend the budget every council meeting, is that what this is?
Yes.
Trying to like print? Okay. So if we don't get the agreement, this won't come. We won't have those expenses.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. CVB. This is additional revenue to promote Missouri Fund. So we're looking at grants of $10,000 for research, $15,000 for marketing platform development grants, and $2,000 for travel. Utilities, these are the customer satisfaction surveys that, so this is just basic cleanup because we had expected to do these that just weren't in the budget. 19 is a long range water distribution study of $200,000.
I have a question. Yeah. I had to say that a couple of times, and I still didn't get what it meant. How does having a long-range water distribution study make, help us make decisions or help your department make decisions? What's the point of it?
Dave?
Yeah, I'll respond.
I'm
Sean Carrico. I'm an engineering supervisor from water. We periodically do a long-range study of our water distribution system. It's typically somewhere in the 5 to 10 year range, kind of driven by growth as to how often we update that. It is time to do that again. There are several areas of the system that need to be studied because of growth that we've seen. This is, unfortunately, we did not get to this project this year. We do have a scope negotiated with the department.
So is this about the capacity of a water main? Has it been filtered down to a pipe that goes down a street that goes into a house? Is that what the distribution system is?
Essentially, it's a comprehensive look at our distribution system and what we need to address to accommodate the future growth. How do we fill in? Are there mains that need to be upsized? Are there gaps in the system that we need to close? Those kind of things.
This is everything that happens outside of the water treatment plant?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, on the other side of the
water treatment plant. It's a planning tool for water distribution.
Okay, on the other side of the water treatment plant. Once it's left the building.
Yep. Number 20. The encumbrances for maintenance repairs at the Castile building. 21. Encumbrances for maintenance replacement of laboratory fume hood.
21. Can I ask real quick?
Yes.
Yeah, just all of these are simply money that wasn't spent for FY22 we're moving over. So it's just carryover funding, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Yep.
So my asterisks of cleanup.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the difference between these and normal encumbrances are that our normal encumbrances would have had a PO attached to them, so they would we can roll them over easier. These are pots of money that were not spent at all because we didn't get to them, but we will get to them within the next few months.
Okay.
So I'm not going to try and take credit for this because somebody else is the one who told me about it, but wasn't there a recommendation in the Ruben Brown reports for the performance audit that we've done so far about encumbrances, and what was that recommendation?
Basically what we're doing,
Which is recognize
them.
So we were keeping the money, holding it aside, but we weren't recognizing it in the budget?
We were automatically rolling it over. Now, instead of automatically rolling it over, we're actually
putting it into an improvement process.
We're putting it into an amendment process, so it's actually the council actually notes that it's an encumbrance that's being moved over.
One, it's drawing attention
right
to, hey, last fiscal year you said you were going to do this, and so the idea is we could theoretically have a trend
right
to show, hey, it looks like we overestimate or over encumber every year or not.
It also helps us just keep track of the money, so
yep,
we don't say, well, 2 years ago we allocated this, but we didn't do anything with it. We want to keep track of it.
And it keeps us from overly inflating our budgets, so you know exactly what's going into the budget and why.
Yeah.
So to the mayor's point, point, are we doing something where we're watching those trends? I know as a council person, I'm not.
Are this, is this the
just started.
Second data point, first data point in this? This is the first time doing that this
well,
way?
We started last
year.
Okay. So 3 points make a trend. I mean.
Yeah. So we started last year with the encumbrances, and we did it. We're trying to find the best way to do it. Last year, we stopped all encumbrances and moved them from one year to the other. This year, we're trying to budget for those who aren't on POs, and then the ones that are on POs will come at a later date once we're past the fiscal year, and we'll move those from 1 year to the next with an amendment.
Thank you.
22 and 23 are also encumbrances that are moving from 22 to
23. 24. I have a question about 23. So, as you look at the progress of the project, this 470 that was an encumbrance carrying over. That's
just to develop the scope, or is that to get started with the work? So, originally $500,000 was appropriated in FY22. We spent $30,000 with an engineer to help us identify the work fronts that we need to address, and we're going to use the remainder of the money to actually try to address the work fronts.
So it's fix-it money, it's not study it or identify it money? Yeah, it's a little both.
Okay.
Okay, 24 is $10,000 to reestablish neighborhood watch program. 25 is due to the increase in natural gas. We're expecting to see those next year as well, because we're coming. It looks like we may go over budget this year. We want to budget a little bit more for next year. 26 is the adjustment for the revenue estimates for proposed business license fee schedule adjustments. Yes.
So when I tried to understand, I know that that's on as a separate item on the under the budget discussion. But as I tried to look at the map there, I wasn't getting it as far as, does this mean that we're going to get an additional $300,000, or this is, because there was also $164,000 or $464,000. Recognizing additional revenue, but does that mean that you're expecting an increase of $300,000 for business licenses?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And is that dependent on our changing business license, what we're going to deal with later on in council?
Yes.
Updating the business license fees. Okay.
27 is a portable shower trailer.
Can you help me understand how that aligns with?
Yes.
But I don't think it's a good idea. I just wonder how that is specifically aligned.
Mike, do you want to talk about that, or do you want Gabe to talk about it?
Either one. I know Gabe and I and several of his staff have been working with a lot of different community leaders on our unsheltered population.
Yeah.
And providing that with aspects of that. And there is a strategic plan about providing additional services to that.
Okay.
So that's where it falls into place. And this is... how do we come up with this dollar budget? This is a larger of the portable shower trailer. It could be less than that because we could get smaller. But right now, we've budgeted the most. It could be how much would this be for
110
number of showers?
This would have four, with one being 88.7.
Right. But it could be that may not work best. We may want to do a four or a RE2. Because that way you can staff it, they're both doing that. So right now, that's what we were looking at.
So once you acquire it, are you guys ready to deploy that, move it around town so people can utilize it?
It would be utilized in that manner somehow, yes. We would probably look at partner with a group. group to utilize that as needed, where they would have volunteers to make sure. It's nothing to be parked and set and then leave it unattended.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be supervised.
Sure.
So the idea was that we'd say, all right, if it needs to be at this location for this day or this afternoon, we'll make it get there, and then you're there to monitor it, and then when we're done, we're picking it up, bringing it back.
Do we need to make sure there's money in the budget for that kind of, what if there's nobody can come forward and staff it? Then we've got a trailer with showers and shoes. Is there some way to put it in the budget that we would have the ability to relocate it from place to place and the ability to staff it?
I think there's different ways to do that without adding to the budget. In terms, we have some miscellaneous contractual services we can utilize to help move that around as needed.
Okay.
And say we want to get with a group and say, all right, here, you're the one who's hauling this around. So there's just a lot of things that this came up, and we wanted to make sure we had this in the budget for discussion. And a lot of the details will be worked out before we even come forward to purchase this.
So
do you already know where you can get one
and are
available?
Yes.
So, Mike, you've been in conversation with different groups in the city who would like to take advantage of this already,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. And plus, we also look at it, too, as an emergency vehicle as well.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine a Joplin scenario or something where we do need some portable showers. Or we have large recreational events, like Dave had the splat, the mud run of your kid. It could be used for that. So you have a lot of different uses.
Whoa.
That it would really come in handy other than just the humane system. So
I'm not volunteering for that one.
Picking up the mud afterwards.
Still Parks and Rec guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
28 increased fuel cost. For police and fire, just to get them basically to the level they are expected to end this year, and if prices increase next year, we will worry about it being mid year.
So this is in my I have three now different columns of things besides just the one offs. This is in the kind of cost have gone up outside of our control. This
right.
is like supply cost, gasoline costs. Okay.
Even though it reads fiscal year 23, it also reads that we're using this to cover the shortfall for this year. So is it a fiscal 22 thing or a fiscal 23?
These are all fiscal year 23.
This is going into our upcoming budget.
So we've already covered any shortfall we have budgeted for fuel and natural gas in 22.
Yes. Public Health Human Services, reallocation of phase of the fiscal year 23 budget. This is the reduction in staff for the COVID-19 response.
So these were the ones that we increased to add staffing
mm-hmm.
to Stephanie's department, and we had a grant for it, and now we don't have that grant.
We still have some for next year, but in March we were still in the midst of Omicron.
Okay.
So I have a question. So I remember the terms disease investigator and contract tracers. Is that what this is? So if you're moving it out of the budget, do you have to return those grant funds to the grantor?
No, these council gave us authority, spending authority, $25, and we got a grant, so we never needed the authority.
So we
didn't spend that money, and now we're just spending it.
Are we dumping it back into the general fund?
Correct.
Okay, it's flowing over to the next year? Okay. Well, I appreciate the concept that we don't fund positions that we know we're not going to need or fill to come up in another place in the budget. Okay, thank you.
Okay, 30 for IT, for a few new GIS data layers. Then also, for the long range transportation planning activities, $40,000.
And this is, I think we are 3 years past due on our national resources inventory. I think we, 2010 was our, Okay, so this is to actually fund that.
Mm-hmm.
And the NRI is the thing that influences sometimes as we're looking at planning. It's already done the review to see, as somebody's proposing to us, like a new development, it's already done sort of a tree inventory or some of the issues that we have in that area to influence. How come they are tied together, though? You have them both listed as 30, but they seem...
Is that a misnumbering?
No.
I think because it came in that way, so it just got separated out. And
so they're both though for kind of contracting out mm-hmm. professional services.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, Pat.
Is there a requirement that we do a natural resources inventory in order to leverage other funding? Is it part of the state budget? Is it part of the
Well, it had been useful when we were having issues with concerns over as we were doing annexation and growing, that things that were happening beforehand, like this was when steep slopes and tree cutting were happening, I know, but I don't remember what other things require an NRI. I don't know if Tim would know. And I think our comp planner, UDC, does it refer to whatever the data in the NRI is? Yeah. Yeah. And the other requirement I know is within the cap, we do talk about, you know, our tree canopy, and this is something that the tree board obviously is interested in.
So I obviously haven't been paying enough attention because I've never heard us reference that when we've been talking about the redevelopment proposal of a green land that hasn't otherwise been a development proposal. So how have I missed that? Is it not part of the staff report? Do we not bring up images
go to
and help us understand what that is? Because it's got to be about more than trees, right?
So the question is why... You know, wouldn't it be referenced in things that staff report on for things that come to council? Happens at the PNZ level? I don't know. Asking you.
References to the NRI. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've never heard them referenced before. Have I not paid attention?
Yeah, I think it gets into two reports. You know, for example, looking at the track development, you look at the NRI data as the high, kind of the initial high level view of the natural resource. So it might show a disturbed area, you know, any incident area that's used in old field. It might show a nice stand of hardwood forest, things like that. And all that stuff gets verified throughout the process by field work. So, you know, rely entirely on what's shown, you know, sensing the data. You look at what's on action.
So like during concept reviews and different reviews for planning, are you have
engineering planner uses it frequently for planning. It will come up as where floodplains are, where climax forest is, where steep slopes are, things like that. So a lot of times that's what the plan reviewers will look at, and then that gets verified. That's kind of how they verify what comes in from the developer's engineer. So it might not come up as NRI, but it'll come up in individual pieces that you can use.
So it would be helpful going forward if some of that data came into the conversation when we're asked to approve new development so that we can understand. I don't remember a conversation where we said, oh, there's a climax forest here and there's a stand of hardwood trees and there's this and that and the other, and we want to protect against that getting torn down or perhaps other level. I don't remember any of that. Is that something that could be added to conversation when we bring stuff forward? I mean, I know $74,000 is not a lot of money, but if we have this and we could pull it up and show it not only to council and to members of the community, that we do make our decisions based in part on this, that would be really helpful for us.
Yep. And I think that second one is making me think that, because I know it hasn't been something that Long Range Transportation Plan had ever referenced for some of these data pieces, so that might also help. Thank you, Matt.
31, the proposed budget including an estimate for the WIC contract, but the funding will be received in 23 is slightly lower, and so this is to reduce that funding amount. 32 is a requested change of approved NDI from a CSA to a records custodian. Then the amount that will be needed for both of those.
So that's about the same that we were talking about in the social worker for municipal court. Does that position come in the mid to the mid 40s or by 40? The CSA, is that what we pay them, and is that what we pay a reference
custodian? Yeah, it should be about what, I'm not sure exactly what the exact salary amount is, but it's roughly around in the 40s.
Is the rule of thumb to take 2/3 of whatever number is being put forward and make that the assumption that's what the salary is and 1/3 is the benefit?
Depends on the department. So.
Well, no, police and fire are higher than that. They're
correct.
But for other non-represented groups, is that a good way for us to look at that?
I won't say definitively that's exactly it, because we'll have to look. I'm not sure. I won't. So I don't want to try to answer that right now and say yes. That's the benchmark.
And 33 is grant revenue for health disparities, and then epidemiology and lab capacity. More ongoing grants, the teen outreach program, HIV prevention, maternal child health program. Move money from one to the next one. If all of the amendments were accepted, this is where we would end. Of course, that operating expenditure money does not take into account the personnel lapse. Well, it's a little higher than the total revenue.
Can you summarize all your amendments by fund, like by general fund, by parks, etc.?
I believe it's in the sheet.
I saw something that looked like that.
Yeah, I think it's in that breakout and in the breakout sheet. There was sitting the council. I think it was in the agenda. We can get that for you.
Okay.
So, with these staff amendments, there's expense for the revenue. Stay within the budget amount that we have, or do we already have an excess we need to deal with? There's revenue, and then expenditures are off by a little bit, and then capital improvements are funded in a different way, so don't take those into account. Does that 480 include these new 117 million in new expenditures?
Nope. So that's not 117. That's the general fund.
Okay.
Yes, and total expenditures includes general fund.
That's what portion of it's coming out of general fund.
Yes.
So with all the budgets up those first 34 budget amendments, we get to $481 million we're going to spend. Of that, a certain portion of it is general fund.
Yes.
Okay. And as far as we can handle the 481 in expenditures, or we're seeking additional revenue to cover those?
No, we're not seeking it. We
have additional revenue.
With the personnel lapse, we don't believe we'll make it to the 481. That's the budgeted number, but we match total revenue to our anticipated expenditures.
Do you have a summary number for the anticipated personnel lapse for 2023?
Yes, so it would be the 532 million less the 521 million, around 10 million, 9 million so dollars.
And that represents how many positions that are currently open?
I couldn't tell you that off the top of my head.
Last time I ran it, we had about 240. That was about 2 weeks ago. Okay.
Just really quick before we move on, I've kind of been lumping the ones together that you said were just clean up, like with the encumbered piece, the ones that are, we got another grant, so additional revenue to come in, or we didn't get a grant, so additional revenue going down. So I'll probably later just call out those numbers and have us lump those, and then maybe we'll go through the ones that are by themselves unless anyone else has a different suggestion. Okay. All right. Thank you.
We'll get into the council amendments.
This is what's on the city council.
My first question, I want to follow up with something that somebody said during public comment. What happens to the equipment we already purchased? We had a $30,000 allocation, I don't remember exactly what month it was in, to buy laptops. Have you purchased those and where are they?
The laptops are in the control room. And so I think the it was one council meeting that we had set up for Zoom, and we had all the laptops out. So those are the laptops that were purchased.
And so they're there already. Okay, and then you have an addition. Is there five of them or 10 of them, or how many were there?
Brian, do you have any laptops we purchased?
20 or 25. So 25 laptops in the
Can we check? 12, I think.
So we have 12 laptops. Are they in good working order, or we have 12 laptops for virtual viewing and participation?
They're all new.
Okay, and so we want to buy five more. Take them up to 17. Okay.
That was to cover if we ever had multiple meetings happening at the same time, we need that extra machine available.
So that takes us to 17. And then I was rereading portions of the report that you all made at the last meeting, and there were 10 meeting rooms you were contemplating having the capacity to do either remote viewing or remote participation, including ones at the airport, ones with the health department, several are in this building, I think a couple are down at the Walton building. So with that information, I was very concerned about this idea that there had to be two licenses for every board or commission. So it took me a while because it's hard to reach them on the phone, but I called Zoom and I talked with them about their licensing, and I got to speak to the guy who's the government, whatever, purchasing government focus of Zoom, because they have an educational section, they have government, they have private industry. I engaged with them at the private industry side. And I explained to him what we were trying to accomplish, and he said, well, he would love to sell us two licenses for every one of these bodies. That's not how they would do it. He said, if you had a set number of rooms, you would outfit the rooms with the license, knowing that while that license is at use in one particular place, it can't be used somewhere else. But it is available as soon as that one meeting concludes. It is available to be used somewhere else. And so then I started to ask him a couple other questions, and he said, well, I know that there are partners out there that help outfit rooms. And he mentioned Polycom. I know we use Polycom. Polycom units somewhere in this room. There's one over there in the conference room up there. So he was talking to me about that, and I was actually supposed to have a Zoom meeting with him, and I messed up the scheduling. So there's a Zoom meeting on the books for tomorrow at 10:30. I told Carlin about it. But he has a lot of wisdom, and he doesn't think, from the experience he has working with other organizations, from how we talked about it, he said you wouldn't be required to have more than one for each of these rooms that are outfitted for this. So that raises to me the fact that we probably need to shift our emphasis away from all of those licenses, which were coming in at around $650 each, to a set number of licenses, but we would probably have to bolster the other component pieces, microphones, cameras, cable, whatever it is. We talked about some filtering software and some other things that all sound wonderful that I don't understand. But I wanted to make sure that we adjusted this language to reflect that, and then I'm sending to Carlin the link so that he can participate or designate people to participate, it should we choose to talk with the guy who leads that section of Zoom tomorrow morning at 10:30. That's going to be my amendment to it. Do you want me to write out some different words for that, Barbara? What would you like me to do?
Well, I mean, I think this is also that conversation where you're like, we're still gathering the intel and the information for what the intent is, if I'm reading correctly. Like, you're still meeting with Zoom, having those conversations. I would say you can do that. We can also have the conversation about, like, we expect this to come back. Like, we expect this to come back as another amendment to the budget once we get more of that information.
So,
like, I'm comfortable with that.
Well, my concern is the way this plays to members of the public. Because there's enough people out there, I mean, lots of us are Zoom savvy now. There's enough people out there in the world that are using Zoom, and they're looking at this, and I just went, oh my God, what? And so I took what little amount of knowledge I had with that and thought, this does not sound like we're spending our money responsibly if we leave this language like this. So if we want to talk about outfitting 10 particular rooms within city government to be capable of providing that remote viewing and remote participation, that would be better language. And also showing that those 10 rooms are spread out across all the properties that the city owns and operates, and the value of that, although, you know, some of them, I guess it doesn't make sense to have all the health department people come down here that are on the Board of Health. I have no idea how many staff they interact with. Same with the airport people. But it just felt to me like we were setting ourselves up for unnecessary criticism, not only of us, but also of our city manager, to present it in this way to our public.
What if we just...
Hold on a minute. Was there a clarification that you had on this that would help us understand?
Yes, so there are 23 laptops. I just got that.
Okay.
We had explored multiple options, and Adam Woods is on his way up in regards to the Zoom licenses. We had to explore the room of the Zoom licenses. Adam, can you talk about what the Zoom licenses are and how they would require
this? Don't get too much. That never works well.
That does not work well.
This is a chair, if you want to pull
it
up.
So we can hear you.
If you could explain the difference between the Zoom webinar and Zoom room and how that helped you decide to use the webinar, because that's what meets the requirements.
Absolutely. So a Zoom room is a license that you can purchase for a meeting room that you have technology in to hold meetings, such as a TV, conference phone, a webcam. Instead of having individual licenses, you buy one for the room. So as right now, staff has the equipment at their desk to hold meetings. They would use a room and then schedule their meetings for the room. They wouldn't require individual licenses. So that is where you would need to hold a meeting. The difference between that and a webinar is a webinar has those fine-tuned controls that allow you to have a meeting with panelists, such as the council, and then attendees who are viewing and just watching the meeting and not participate, unless allowed in. There is a mechanism to say, if you had someone who was going to speak on a certain issue, you could either allow them to talk or promote them to a panelist, and then once their time was up, then put them back to an attendee.
Exactly. That was what his name is Greg McHale, and he explained that to me today. And there would be that some kind of combination of sweet spot of those, but we don't need 48 webinar licenses. That's just the part that is just so hard for me to understand. And it's anyway, I think we need to be more careful in our choice of language here, knowing that our public is reading this and saying, what the heck?
So
why is it there is another, we can continue to look at the solutions to meet the requirements that you have set forth and staff as well. So there is an alternative solution where you have to look at and things like that.
Okay. So when we first started this project, the directives were identify the boards and commissions, then identify the boards and commissions that have a CNV scene requirement, identify how many meetings, when, with what frequency. And so when we were looking at that, the initial approach was to set the staff liaison and an alternate as the one in charge of those boards and commissions meetings, and that this would be something that would supplement what they're already doing, with IT and public communications providing some training. As we continued to refine the process, meet with the vendor who we get our Zoom licenses from, and to get feedback from staff that we included in our demonstrations, we have determined that we could pare down the number of Zoom webinar licenses, where if we set up probably two licenses for IT, two for public communications, and worked with the staff liaisons to create the webinars on a recurring structure, and then added them as hosts and co-hosts to the meeting, that would eliminate the need for specific Zoom webinar licenses for each one. So right now we had 96 Zoom webinar licenses at $645 each, which was $61,000. Let's round it up to 62. If we pared that down to four Zoom webinar licenses and implemented this model, it would save us $59,340. So that's something that we didn't know in the beginning, that only going through the process, getting feedback and refining it, that we learned.
So is the intent behind this, so it's on our amendment sheet, but is this the sort of thing that maybe we turn down this amendment and you all come back with us with a better refined proposal, or
I think we're getting a little bit out of sorts of what a budget is.
I'm in the weeds right now.
Yeah, we're way deep in the weeds.
Yeah.
This was just an explanation of what this money is for. This money can be used in any sort of way that you all want to use it for, to purchase the webinar or whatever things we need to make the CNB scene applicable. This does not have to be this exact.
I think Pat's point is that y'all created a lot of detail in it,
right,
which then created some of this confusion over, like, are you really?
Absolutely.
Let's rephrase it.
I
don't doubt that by the time we're done buying hardware, so if we have 17 laptops and we can get up to 23 laptops, and the other things, cameras, external cameras in the room, or microphones, or wiring, or whatever, we may totally get to 104,000 at some point to outfit those 10 rooms.
Right.
And that's a good idea for us to outfit those 10 rooms. But let's not leave ourselves open here to this kind of specificity when we know that that's incorrect.
Yeah, thank you. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, going on. I think the next 10 are Pat's proposals.
Yes.
And if you want to take away, and I'm taking a look at time, so we're about 6:15, and I know, I was just going to say, if there's the chance that we don't get to our MoDOT, is it possible that it can be on the report section, or?
You'd have to amend your ordinance to put it as a report.
The agenda, I don't even know if that's it.
I mean, you're.
Sheila's like standing right behind me. I'm just in case, so just so we have something maybe for the next, we can see where we go with this. I just want to be mindful of time.
So I was visited by two members of the transit. I held some open session over the last couple of Sundays, and I said, if you want to talk about the budget, come on down. And they did. They came into the city hall. And two members of the transit commission brought to my attention, they were not in favor of the new transit study. They said, we already know things that are wrong with our transit system, and we haven't fixed those. And so for us to undertake another transit study feels like we're just doing the same thing over and over again, knowing that we don't have the resources to fix it. And as a corresponding to that, then I got an email from someone in Local Motion who said, I want to remind you of the conversations that we've had about having a master planning process for transit and for transportation. And this was something that Ian championed when he was still on the board. And so what I want to do is make sure that we're not locking ourselves into the kind of transit study we've already been doing and then have left us with, we're not seeing the results or the benefit of that, and instead that we undertake that larger transit master planning process. So it's a substitute.
So I think this is the wondering about the intent behind, this might be a good time for, if you're the intent for the transit study, I don't think necessarily that it's removing this from the budget, it's just maybe clarifying what the outcome is hoped.
I mean, ideally the study would develop a plan of action on how do we move forward. I mean, the issue is that there are, while we may have done some studies, my concern is that, you know, our transportation needs have changed. One of the things that, if you look at the Climate Action Committee, you know, they're talking about that we need to reduce, you know, people driving on our streets. Well, how do we convince residents that public transportation is viable and something that's important that you utilize? So, I mean, part of that study is to look at all the factors of our transportation needs and try to work toward, know, creating a comprehensive plan on how do we move forward. So part of that would be, you know, an education portal. Part of that would be looking at different types of transportation processes. You know, we just, you know, just recently we had the last mile that was presented to us for an idea of something that's outside the normal part of our transportation process, but it's probably something that we should look at. And there's other business sectors that we need to figure out how do we make that connections. I mean, right now, if we look at our current system, it's not working. And so we need to figure out how do we get it to work. So what we want to do with the study is do something that's more comprehensive, mm-hmm. that can help us develop a plan on how do we move forward. And so, well, I will say, yes, I understand that a lot of people say, well, we plan. My thought is that I don't see how we can develop a master plan without actually first actually studying it to understand exactly what do we need in order to put in that plan. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thought with the study. I mean, study, master plan, I think it's, you know, it can all be tied into the same particular process. It's all about what we do in our scope of services and what we're asking for.
Would we take that scope of services to our existing transit commission?
Yeah, that's the role of that commission.
To review that?
Yeah, that's,
and listen to them?
That's the role of the commission.
It could be led by them. I know Climate and Environment Commission asked for the role in that. So my thoughts are we draft an RFQ through the Transit Advisory Commission and then reach out for comments from the CDC or the Disabilities Commission or whoever that would be, take that back and then work towards a scope of services.
Okay. Nick, you had a question?
I'm okay.
All right, thank you.
So is there, the next is the transit app. I don't have it loaded on my phone now. I used to like watching it. But apparently, is it not functioning? Is it functioning? Have we budgeted to replace it?
There's some things that we need to improve that we're trying to work toward. Shane, can you kind of talk about that?
Sure. The double map system, the actual transit tracking system, see where the bus is, worked pretty well. We've had some glitches, but they've always been responsive. So we don't have much issue with that. Where we've had requests for route planning. I know that Google has a route planning component, Google Transit. We've explored that in the past. We've had issues with legal issues with the terms and conditions and things like that. We've reached back out to them to get an updated terms and conditions. That was about 2020. And Jeff City has found a way to negotiate with Google, so we've reached out to them to see what their contract looks like. So we're working on that, the route planning component. So that would be helping someone understand that I've got to take a bus here and I've got to switch buses, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing we've had issue with is when we've had issues with service, we don't have a very good method to, if you ride the bus every day, you don't necessarily go look at the app. The bus comes at 8:00. We haven't had a good way to get out in front of that. And so citywide, we're looking for ways to push a text for someone that volunteers to sign up and things like that. The most we can do right now really is issue a press release, which no one sees, and you can see it on the app if you go to the app. But if you always ride the bus, chances are you aren't going to the app. And so those are the two things we're working on. I don't know if that addresses the concern. concerns that you're hearing, that those are the things that we're
working on. Do you have any expected, because they're telling me that it's not functioning for the purposes intended. That you can't rely on it. Apparently, they're still not going to tell you when the bus is stopped and not going to come. It's missed the route entirely.
You can take cursor or especially on a laptop or something like that, and it will show you the estimated time of the arrival and then stop. That is a problem.
Yes, that's the problem that they brought to my attention that they want us to fix, because nobody's got their laptop with a 5G wire. We got these. Okay, so that's a problem. Okay. Will we need to have a budget amendment in the future to find out exactly how much that costs to fix it?
My suggestion would be to tie that, and I know for everything, kitchen sink in the study or master plan, but my recommendation would be to look at what systems other communities are using that address the things that don't have to do as part of that process would be my suggestion.
Okay. Right, thank you. My next one is I don't understand, and I guess we're going to get a chance to listen to the public about this, but in the last 2 years, we've tried to fund Big West for $35,000, and when I asked Matt, has that come through yet, he said no. And so now we have left them without our funding for 2 years. It's not their only funding, but the purposes and the things that they provide in our community, I've had more than one person educate me on that. It's not the same old CAT TV it was when I was an active member from 2004 to 2007. So I would like us to go ahead and budget and make up that money with them so that they can continue to do the kind of services and training and makerspace work that they're doing with our community.
Does this need to be, clarifying question, does this need to be a budgeted thing, or is this just because we didn't have the agreement signed and we actually had this money appropriated for the last 2 years and
well,
can pay it?
So last year's a different process. For this current fiscal year, not the.
What do you mean by current?
2022.
Thank you.
So we started a process of negotiating that contract early on in 22. We just got that contract finished and signed, Carol, what, a month ago?
The contract has been executed, and they just submitted. We prepare benchmarks for them to meet in order to receive payment, and they just submitted their first one for report.
So there's $35,000 in 22,
and
then $35,000 in 23, but no, it's kind of getting them to.
And so since we just signed it, will they still be able to pull from the 22 once we get past October 1?
Do we,
does it roll forward?
Do we need to amend that to add that into?
There's one contract for $35,000.
Okay, so it's just $35,000 total.
Yeah, so once that contract is up, then the next one could start, but we're sort of off now. So what I would guess what would happen is the year anniversary of this contract, the next contract will start. So we're just kind of, we're
10 months behind or something. Okay.
So my intention in making this is that by the time we get to the end of fiscal year 23, we have been in contract with them and they have received $70,000.
And I think that's the intent, that it, because basically it's for their payments for 22 that they didn't receive.
Well, they didn't receive 21 either.
It has, but it's not all on staff's issue.
I'm sorry if you think I'm assigning blame. What I'm saying is that this provides a valuable service in the community, and for whatever reason, we've now gone 2 years without them getting funding, so this is an opportunity for us to make sure by the end of 2023 we have $70,000 of contribution from the city.
Do you have any idea how many people they actually...
Hold on, Betsy's asking a question.
I mean, how many people they actually serve? How many people actually come through there? I've not seen any paperwork on that. I mean,
said that stuff, and I didn't print it out. I'm sorry.
And
well,
I imagine that's the benchmark.
They need to send it to all of us, then.
Right, I think that's the benchmark that Carol was talking about. But, yeah, Nancy.
So I think we have to be careful when we're talking about this particular service. It's really supposed to be a service that the city is contracting for. Mm-hmm. Midwest was the successful recipient of the contract to provide these services this year for $35,000. That does not guarantee Midwest will be the successful recipient next year for another $35,000. So I think Midwest tends to think these are their funds, and they are not. So we can't earmark funds for a private entity. We can, as a municipality, provide services to our residents, and then we have a process by which we go through to award the contracts for providing services.
So, Nancy, let me clarify. Midwest didn't come to me and say this. Pat Fowler thinks this money belongs in the community media center because we failed to fund that for the last 10 years. Let's not put that on their shoulders. This is on my shoulders.
Well, okay, so what we've got to do is make sure that you're talking about our contracts and our contract for services. So we only had a contract with them for the amount that the contract was for. And to the extent that they were performing under the contract, they received payment for that. And so in order to have an additional funding go to them, we're going to have another contract, and it's going to have to be pursuant to whatever competitive bid process has to occur, and an amount will be allocated to that. So it's not just council puts in $70,000 for Midwest into the budget.
But
it has to be
whoever the successful bidder is.
And so if those funds get increased and we have somebody who's providing the services, then we can make those payments. But up to this point, we haven't had somebody with a contract to provide the services.
So I guess my clarification for this point of this. So my intent is when we get to this part of the council meeting, just like the staff ones, I'm going to go through our amendment numbers on this piece for that. For that one, the clarification would be, like, if it doesn't go forward, it still doesn't mean, because we have a contract with them for the $35,000 for fiscal year 22, which will carry over until the contract is up again in summer of 23. Am I reading that correctly?
Correct.
And then the RFP or whatever will go out, and successful bidders are then paid. Okay. And I don't think that was the intent of this, but I just want to clarify that. Yeah. Like, there's a chance that we will spend $100,000. Okay, got it. Right, going on.
So the next one having to do with utility assistance, and I appreciate I'm remembering what Eric said a little while ago. So in determining that, you know, I appreciate we had $300,000 available because that was extra CARES Act money that didn't get spent. As far as having a couple of things, and being able to provide effective utility assistance for residents who struggle, we have to have an eligibility process that they can access, and we don't have that yet, so that would be one of the reasons why we haven't spent the money. We don't have a consistent one that crosses over. We don't have, we are not focused on, we don't even have a listing or an idea of the universe of folks that are applying for that utility assistance, getting it from either the city or CMCA or anyone else, whether or not we're following up with them about whether the places that they currently live could benefit from energy efficiency improvements, nor do we have money set aside to help perform those energy efficiency improvements. And I am well aware of all of the difficulties we've had in the past since I've been following this kind of programming for quite a while. But I would like us to take another run at that with the kind of enthusiasm where we connect the dots and try and make a difference. We don't know, though, the universe of people that have received $600 from the city in the last year from that $300,000 pot of money. Because those would be the initial people to focus on to make sure we have enough funding to assist them into this next year. That's why it says need additional info. I don't have the number. I talked to the department about it today. I didn't do a picture.
Well, you say we don't know who they are. I'm looking at I'm sorry to Carlin, but I would imagine we have that based on the information we receive from them when they apply, right? So we have an idea about how many people have been served, and are they eligible once per year or for this funding?
It depends on whether they're in cash or help,
right?
Senior,
Right. So I would imagine we probably, not everybody who applied received, was able to receive. Well, this year, yeah. Okay. So I guess I'm just wondering, wouldn't we have some idea of...
Yeah, I feel like working with you, our staff determines, they put their application in, we determine their eligibility, and then we work with the utility
side. Yeah, I think one thing that's different about this year versus previous years is that we've had a whole lot more money. And so, you know, where and you say you still have money within
a little bit.
So, but that's that wouldn't be true in previous years when the funding was far less. So what I'm saying here is I think we may have a better idea as a result of having more funding about what the universe is in which we're being concerned and what it might take to do that.
Well, we don't know. It'd be a little harder to see lighting funded versus CNC.
Right, right. And putting those data sets together. Yeah.
This request is looking at several different programs. So it's looking at the eligibility list that we're Uniform eligibility process that we're trying to develop through the public health.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one process.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the process that we're working on through sustainability. It's looking at a process for looking at homes to see exactly where they fall in and what the needs are in order to make those improvements. And then the other part is looking at utility assistance. And so it's three separate programs that we're trying to morph into one. And I think that's part of the issue is trying to, the different needs may be set for different people. And so it's trying to, in our mind, it's easier to separate it into those three different portals and understanding that once we have that eligibility process, then we'll be able to better look at the people who are not just looking at utility assistance, but also looking at stuff for public health,
mm-hmm.
looking at other parts of services that they need that may need help for social services. And then for the home rating and through that process, once we actually have a platform to actually look at how do we measure what those needs are for those individual units, then we do have a funding process through community development that we can actually help elevate in order to assist additional residents with through that platform. So it's just, there's just three different processes that are trying to come together.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I appreciate your explanation, Carl, but what I'm hoping for is that we focus those three different processes on those folks that we know are struggling. And there are also people that are paying late fees. And so how do we get to a place where, since we're giving them, as Barbara says, repetitive amounts of energy assistance or utility assistance, how do we get to a place where we're going to focus on them and see if we can lessen the burden that they're carrying with their utilities? By bringing those three programs together. And that's the point of my budget amendment, is to make sure that we have money in the fund. And since you don't have a number, it's hard to calculate the number. But how do we put money in the fund to be able to implement those three different pieces with this set group of people that apparently Stephanie can already identify and can call CMCA and
Well, hold on,
quick question.
Yeah.
So this, we don't know the dollar amount. We don't know. So I would say let's hold on this one. And the intention is we need some more information on
yes.
what it is.
And
I want to go forward before we have to go into our seven.
No, I agree. And I just want to say from a staff perspective, you know, this is all the work that we're doing.
Right.
And so we're not ignoring different pockets of our community. Our goal is to create a process that's uniform that will ensure that our residents are
right.
protected.
Right. So. Okay, eight more.
Okay. So for development processes, we've heard from, in fact, I was thinking of one speaker in particular that came before CPRB during one of their most contentious meetings and talked about the need for us to look at how do our boards work together, how do we work with our boards, how do we work together as a council. I don't have a consultant picked out. I don't even know if I've identified the right amount of money. But we did talk before about finding some outside help as far as dealing with the very specific issues of civilian oversight and that board. So this is here as a starting point for us to have funding for that larger process.
Right. And I've reached out. I know that like NU Extension does some board training and different things just to see if that's the sort of thing for some of these pieces. So I agree with you, it's the start of the discussion, but yeah, not knowing the dollar amount that we should do, it might be a later amendment.
We can put something in now so that we have something to work with. Yeah, okay. Then the next one, this community navigator position, again, came out of the small groups that I invited people at their own choice to opt in to come talk to me about. And what I heard recurring over and over again is we have boards and commissions that work and build all kinds of specific knowledge and try and bring it to council. We may or may not get that information, and when we do, it might be too late for decisions that have already been made. We have groups of people out in the community that are doing that research and have specific knowledge, whether it's Como Safe Water Coalition is a prominent example, given how hard they've been working for the last 6 years. And so this is a position, contracted for or otherwise, that elevates that work so that we see that data and that information ahead of time, and that we can then incorporate that into our decision-making and our understanding of complex issues. And that also furthers this idea that that we are looking at equitable governance, and I have on more than one occasion talked to DeCarlin about this idea that when we have a consultant, and we have a board or commission, and we have staff, and we may have an outside stakeholders group, that we actually bring them all together so that we can talk with them together and get the benefit of what they, because they all understand each other's positions, but we don't, because we don't see them together to say, okay, tell us where are we on track, where do we disagree, where do we need to focus our energies to resolve this problem. And this is to improve the information that we as council use and react to.
Yeah, I mean, my question on that one is, like, who do they report to? You say report to council. Doesn't that mean changing our charter? And, like, that just opens up a whole lot of other questions I have.
So it seems like there's a couple of different ways to do that,
yeah.
Including the contractor position.
Yeah.
Then the fourth level of that came from a meeting that Stephanie and Tim and Steve Hollis and Randy Cole were present with at the request of Steve Hollis. Do you remember that, Stephanie? So it was March 16th of 2021. We had a Zoom meeting. Ian invited me and I sat in, and we talked about the fourth level of emergency response, separate and apart from the police department, because we were having trouble attracting people who wanted to apply for those co-responder jobs within the police department. We have, these needs continue. I think we're going to hear some testimony tonight from people coming to talk about circumstances that they see unfolding in the community, but they don't know how to call or who to call. And we also don't have enough information about where we are with any RFP for having contracted services out to a provider to provide that service. I'm not suggesting that we're going to do this, but we could be contracting for that among the professional organizations that could handle that.
I'd say part of this, like the Behavioral Crisis Center, some of those discussions we've had?
Yes. But mobile.
But to mobile, right.
Yeah, to mobile. Because, and I would rely, I remember the, there was enough of an explanation from Stephanie and Steve that we both went, oh my gosh,
yeah.
that's perfect. Now, I don't remember the specifics though, Stephanie.
So, I would add that traditionally when they talk about that, they talk about it much broader than a city government. They talk about the system
right.
As a whole, and that would include New County,
right.
And the Emergency Operations Center 911, and all of those.
Yeah.
And so I'm seeing a lot of these are kind of like these are the start of the discussion
yeah.
About a broader thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Going on, this is similar to what we talked about before.
Yep, and this is where I've already heard when we talk about the urgency of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to put more money at this to incorporate both Dr. Peters' amendment. And an emphasis area, and also to look at those broader issues that I discussed. So $75,000 is not enough. If we want to do it sequentially, I'm good with that, but I know that they're all interconnected, so we need to bring them forward at the same time. The next one is an examination of what do you call it, the extra mile or the last mile?
Last
last mile.
The last mile that that Pastor
Woods
brought over, Lester Woods brought over. And also to not only meet the needs of people getting to work with some of these new jobs, but also persons with disabilities because of the loss of Taxi Terry. And their number of options have declined to those hours that they're trained in rather than some of the other things that they need to get to. And then the last one is, I am so excited about the single eligibility thing, where it's part of the strategic plan, where we get to a place where we have a single eligibility for our residents, whatever interval, hopefully it's not more often than a year, so that they qualify once for all of those things, whatever, and there might be additional things that I'm unaware of. But to do that, I think, is more than the 0.25 that is an amendment to the human services budget. I think it's more of a 0.5. So that's why I wanted to bolster that up with some additional sum. And I always use $100,000 as the FTE number, whether that's accurate or not. The last one is, I've made some changes. I've had some requests from the community to change the language a little bit. And the request of changes to bring a community violence style program with street outreach, hospital intervention, group violence interruption, and place-based strategies to Columbia using our ARPA money and starting with the assessment that those organizations typically start with.
And my clarification on this one, when you reference ARPA, we had not been doing any ARPA allocations for this, so that might happen when we receive, and we are getting ready to do RFP or something around some piece of our cure violent or the violence interruption. So I guess the question is, at that time, maybe we'll have that conversation about what's that timeline mm-hmm. on that, or if this will be part of that portal that you've talked about where somebody applies to us and they're checking off that it's falling within that and then it's evaluated. Is that correct?
But we still need to educate ourselves as to what is working well with data backing it up in other communities. And maybe there should be another amendment that just says to go ahead and put $50,000 into a fund to do that community assessment by one of those organizations. There are several in the United States. And we're going to hear some people talk about that tonight. I believe they're coming to address that. But the, and whether or not you take out the reference to ARPA funds or whatever, but we're getting darn close to when do ARPA funds have to be spent by, Mr. Lee?
24.
The end of
24. So yeah, no, that's to be spent. That's
to be encumbered by 24 and spent by 26.
Okay. Okay.
But we have to have them encumbered.
Okay. So encumbered by 24, spent by 26. If we have 3 years, 23, 24, 25, we're really coming up on just 1 year of buffer. And then we also have the urgency in the situation of what's going on in our communities every day. Somebody else told me about a shooting. We have a continuing series of shootings in the community. And this is about addressing the folks that have guns in their possession and are using them to solve their disagreements or their grudges or however you want to hear.
Thank you,
Pat. Okay, and then the last one we
brought up, Betsy's, right. Okay, so my intention then for tonight, I'll group together. Sheila has put on council's chairs or at your desk a printed out list of the staff and council amendments, so the numbers, so as we call out numbers, you can easily see how that might be handy. Because we're running up to time, and the I-70 discussion we have on our agenda, we have 12 minutes. My thought is, we have in here recommendations from what the I-70 corridor is and what MoDOT is doing and what is currently funded. On those slides are staff recommendations. The intent behind this was this idea that we would then send our letter of resolution, similar to what the Business Loop CID comments are attached on our thing, to MoDOT to kind of show where the city is. Ideally, this would happen before the end of September, before they open up their next community advisory group. So what I might ask of staff is maybe those recommendations that are in there can come to us in report form at our next meeting in September, as if that's the thing. And if we need to at that time say yay or nay on some of them, like that one I don't think is a priority. Does that work?
Do you mean in our next regular council
Correct.
Meeting?
Correct. So not like not council? Today, because, I mean, I don't know.
We can do that. If we come forward with a report, that means we come back to the first meeting in October with like a resolution, I think, that you would approve that the mayor signed on behalf of the council.
And how is that working with their timing?
I'm trying to remember when the next meeting is. I can't.
19th.
The other way to do it would be to come forward. If what I've given you so far, relative terms you're on board with, we could come forward, I think, with a resolution or letter and then tweak it on the agenda.
Yeah, I guess I probably, I'm disappointed we're not going to be able to talk about this here because they're likely, I have questions about it, and I imagine others will.
Yeah.
So I don't, I'm concerned about doing it in a regular council.
Well, session. That's what I'm saying. It could come as a report to us on that piece and up for our discussion then, and then the resolution comes to us at the October, whatever the first meeting is in October, that of what we heard from the report section, our feedback to them that we then send to MoDOT.
Okay, so they would report, we would give feedback back.
Yes.
To them in what manner? By email? By
No. At our September 19th
City
Council meeting.
Regular City Council.
So at the end of the agenda, when we have our report section,
correct.
That's when their report
correct.
Will come.
But also as a reminder, y'all have it in front of you too. And so if it's for the ideas of these reports, we can also ask questions of staff via beforehand to then have clarifying at the 19th.
I
want to
hear about Scott Boulevard.
Can it be a special item at the beginning? Because at the end of the meeting, if it's at the end, I mean, it could be midnight, and we know how we feel at midnight about making some decisions. Can we find a way to put that into the beginning? I mean, it's a request from MoDOT, isn't it?
We are going to do a closed session for pre-council,
do
but
2 hours
we don't necessarily need the full 2 hours for it. So, yeah, we could delay this until the next one. We just spent the full 12 minutes talking about delaying it to the next one. Okay. Does that sound good? Any other items for this? All right. We're adjourned. Let's go into the next one.